Our Father, we are thankful that you have given us your word. And you've given us your word that is so good and so true. And Lord, we ask that you speak to us by your word and awaken us through your Holy Spirit in us to see who you are. Lord, revive souls this morning. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have a message for my children who are in this room. You can listen to me. Tonight is height night. And they know what that means. That means we'll go into our closet when we get home. And we have two closets. One that started out as Abby's closet. And one started out as Eli's closet when they were younger. And of course, we've swap rooms around a little bit now, but we have a girl's closet and a boy's closet, and we'll go in there, and they'll take their shoes off, and they'll back up to the wall, and I'll stick a pencil right on top of their head and draw a line right across there, and they'll step away, and there, what they want to see is what? How much did I grow? My closet, that line keeps getting lower. I don't know what's going on there. No, they want to see how much taller, how much did they grow? And it's so exciting to see, man, I was this tall only half a year ago. And now I am an inch taller. Or I've made it this much in the past year or 2 years. And it's always fun because you get to see progress. You get to see growth. Anybody have that growing up? Did you do that? Anybody? All right, I did. I had in my closet one of those. I thought that was a neat thing, and we love it. You get to see growth. Well, as you know, we're walking through the scripture, the whole Bible this year. We're talking about the story of redemption. And when we get to the New Testament, the redeeming work of Jesus has been accomplished on the cross. Jesus has died, he's been buried, he's been raised. And that redemptive work has happened. And Paul speaks to that work, and then he talks to churches along his way that he has traveled around and he's met people in. And we have a record of his letters to these churches. And he is encouraging them that it's not just a one-time believing of a message, but there is a growth that must take place. And as Paul writes these letters back, we're going to take a snapshot of some of the writings in Colossians and in Philippians this morning and look at what Paul is giving to the church to say, this is a way that you need to grow in your faith. And I want to encourage you to think about this. If there were a closet, a spiritual closet that you would go to, and if you were to back on up to the wall, and if you were to take that pencil and strike it at your spiritual growth in the last 6 months, the last year, the last 2 years, would you see an increase in your spiritual growth? That's what I want to encourage you. And Paul was encouraging spiritual growth, and this morning we're going to look at a little bit of how that's happening. So, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 will begin in verse 28. This is the passage that Brother Jimmy read for us earlier today. And we're going to walk through this and another couple of passages as well. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for the Word? This is the Word. It's good stuff. Him we proclaim. Who is Him?
Jesus.
Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we might present what?
Everyone
mature in Christ. Everyone mature in Christ. So I have a question for you. Some of our young people who are in here today, because no children's church, one of the greatest goals in their life is to get big. Now, I know that Eli, when he grows up, he wants to be just like me, right? Maybe not just like me, but he wants to grow up and be mature. Titus wants to grow up. Ethan wants to grow up and be a big, strong guy. Ethan, you're going to be taller than me one day. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You're going to be taller than me one day. They want the maturity that comes from growing up. Because that's what kids want. They want to grow up and to be able to do the things that men and ladies do. They want to be big. Now, when I was growing up, we had this commercial, and it sang a little song like this. It said, da na 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 na. Anybody recognize that tune? Jason, you got it? What is it? It's a Toys R Us song. And the words to that song, if you know them, say this: I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And that was the beginning of a theme that really didn't die, y'all. There are 20-somethings today that don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They want to continue living in adolescence and in teenage life. And I believe that idea began, and maybe that's just because when I first saw it, but in that, I don't want to grow up. But Christian, let me call out to you this morning. Those are not words of the Christian faith. The words of Paul, as you see here, is he is warning everyone and teaching everyone that we might present everyone what? Mature. To put away the things of childhood and to grow up and to be adult men and adult women who are in Christ and strong and mature and know how to handle faith. Now, I talked with my Sunday school class this morning. We discussed some things and walked through some scripture. And at the end of the class, I told them, guys, I know that we didn't necessarily learn a lesson that you're going to take out of here and walk away and say, this is what I learned in Sunday school this morning. Because sometimes lessons, when you mature in your faith, they take more than 45 minutes to learn. Right, Granny? They take a longer time to learn and then build upon that and then build upon that, because we are growing in maturity to where sometimes that little snack just isn't quite enough. We need something to put meat on our spiritual bones and something a little bit deeper and a little bit harder to grasp that's going to help us in deeper and stronger ways. When I was growing up, we had a hurricane, and it was Hurricane Andrew. And I think we've got some remnants of Hurricane Andrew on our ceiling here. But I remember we had just planted a magnolia tree in our front yard. And we had a big oak tree in our backyard. And that oak tree was the tallest tree I'd ever seen when I was growing up. But it was a full-grown oak tree in our backyard. And Hurricane Andrew came through, and guess what happened to the oak tree? Nothing. I gotcha. Nothing happened to the oak tree. Guess what happened to that little bitty magnolia tree in my front yard? Fell right on over. I mean, that wind, it couldn't sustain it. It was blown and blown over because the roots were deep. And this is what Paul is yearning for. It's not for us to be sapling Christians. Not for us to be fed fully by a three-sentence devotional or meme on Facebook, but for us to yearn for the deeper things that sometimes take a while to grow, but they're lessons in life and they're truths that the Scripture brings us that carry us through and weather that storm that comes in life. Mature in Christ. That's what he wants, church. That's what he wants, his Christians to be mature in Christ. And I want to, and as we're going to see, look in verse 29, because that is not automatic. Maturity is not automatic. Look in verse 29. For this I, what? Toil. What does toil mean? Work. Work hard. A continued work. I'm toiling. Toiling on. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great I what? Struggle. Now this is Paul working, toiling, struggling. He has an end, and what is his end? We just talked about it. What's Paul's goal in all this? Maturity for the church. Maturity for you. Maturity for the Colossians. Maturity. And I can tell you, I feel some of that. I toil. And I toil every Friday and Saturday night for you because I want you to grow, church. And I toil on Sunday mornings to come and present to you what God's Word is and hopefully offer some explanation to help you, your roots to grow deeper. How I struggle for you and for those at Laodicea and for all of you who have not seen me face to face. Verse 2, that their hearts might be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach, and this is, check this out, here's the maturity, here's the idea, here's what he wants, to reach all of the riches. Anybody in here rich? Anybody in here really know anybody that's very wealthy? Most of the time, and I've heard that stat from Dave Ramsey, you know, people who win the lottery don't stay rich. They don't. People who win lots of money, they don't. People who work hard in life and get there, they might have privilege, sure, it happens. But the people who work hard are the wealthiest people in general in America. Because they know how to work. And this is what he's doing. He wants to attain these riches, to reach all the riches of full assurance of what?
Understanding.
And what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Here's what's going on here. Maturity comes through what? The toil, the hard work that's put in. And the effort. And maturity makes itself known in the riches that we're seeing here. The riches and full assurance of the knowledge and the understanding that comes of knowing Jesus. So here's where we're going this morning. Paul wants the church to be mature. And not mature in knowing good manners, but mature in knowing the truth. Mature in knowing the truth of who Jesus is. Jimmy raised his hand this morning. I'm rich. Why? Because Jimmy knows Jesus. And knowing the Lord Jesus is better, like the proverb says, is wisdom and the knowledge of God is better than silver or gold. That's one of Pop's favorite songs. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And I don't know the other words, but I know it's a good song when I sing it. It's really good. This riches of knowing, that's where the maturity comes in. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where does this come from? How do we mature in Christ? So here it is. Children, you don't have children's church this morning. But I saw what Miss Allison was working on last night, and I know that she teaches you about Jesus. And every week that y'all go in there, you'll learn about the Bible and how it points to who Jesus is. Adults, when we come to church and are a part of church and Sunday school and men's Bible study and ladies' Bible study and these groups, we do a lot of talking and we do a lot of reading because in those things, you learn the deeper riches. So I want to share with you, this is not a knock. This is not a knock, but there are devotion books that you can read. And they encourage you through the day. Hilton brings me our daily bread probably every 2 weeks. He says, read this. And I read them and they're good. And they're things to help us through. But there is more than devotion books in your maturing Christian faith. That's part of it. But we can't stop there. That's the appetizer that gets us and helps us and refreshes us. But there are deeper things in the faith. There are riches that you have to dig to find. Let me give you a real world example. There aren't many diamonds that are just kind of sitting on the ground. Are there? Got any diamond farmers in here? Oh, look, there's a diamond. Unless you find it on a ring, right? Where do you get diamonds? You go down deep and you mine for diamonds. You have to work for them. If you want the great riches, you got to work for it. You got to dig. You have to toil. And this is analogous to the Christian life. You got to work at it. You've got to work at it. And it takes effort and time on your knees and time with a Bible open in front of your face, because a great part of the Christian life, y'all, is right here. It happens right here. Some of the greatest victories in this room that have ever happened have happened on your knees in prayer, surrendering to the Lord. Am I right? Amen. Am I right? Yes. Some of your greatest times that you can remember, Christian, are they not in front of your Bible when you go, yes, 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 that's true, yes. Or in a church service or a Bible study group when you go, oh, yes, that's what it is, and that means so much. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, 12:2, I love this verse. Let this verse resonate over you, church. Let me read it to you. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How are you supposed to test if you don't have anything in your head to test it with? And how are you supposed to get stuff in your head if you're not in the Word and in prayer? This is what the Christian life, the essence of it is. It is knowing God. And your mind is being renewed day by day by day. And it's not, your mind doesn't get renewed in one instant. And you can talk to the mature faces that I see out here, the Christians that I want to be like one day. And they'll tell you, this didn't happen in a day. It takes time. And it takes your mind being renewed day by day. This is what mature Christians do. They equip themselves and prepare themselves because the Christian life is not easy. Any amens out there? It's not easy to be a Christian because the world is against you. The world is trying to convince you otherwise. Look in verse 4. It's right here. It says this: I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Now, I have read this verse several times and thought, okay, I don't want to be deluded. And then I looked at that word, D-E-L-U-D-E. You know what that word means? I was thinking it was pouring water in something and making it watered down. But that's the word dilute with a T. And I realized, wait, I'm reading this wrong. That's not dilute. That's delude. So I looked up the word last night, and you know what the word delude means? It means to trick. It means to trick you with false arguments. Holland, out at LSU, right? You see any deluding going on out there? Any false arguments trying to trick you into false things? And I can remember being at LSU and all of the false ideas that were contrary to what I believed. Even taking a Bible, what did I take? I took a Christianity, history of Christianity class. And it was the teacher, the professor there, all he was doing was trying to discredit the scripture. deluding people as they would come along. But Paul is bringing here and saying, hey, don't be deluded. Don't be tricked. Don't be scammed. Don't be deceived by false arguments. It happens. When the Nigerian prince sends you an email, don't call Nigeria because it's a scam. It's a hoax. And y'all are all laughing because you've gotten the email. At least if you're over the age of 20, you got the email. He'll start sending texts pretty soon. Hey, I'm a prince from Nigeria. I want to give you $1 million. Will you please accept my $1 million? It'll only cost you several hundred that you send to me. And then I'll give you the million. I also read on Ponzi. You know where Ponzi scam got the name? Yeah, that's the one that says, hey, we're investing in something, and you give me $100, and I guarantee you, you'll see 100% return in 90 days. And they come back to you, and they give you $200, and you go, oh, man, this guy knows what to do. And he says, yeah, if you give me 1,000 more, I'll give you 300% in 6 months. Yeah, here you go, man, that works. And all he's doing is getting the next guy down the road to get $100 from them, and the next guy, and he's paying back the other two guys. But somewhere, that Ponzi scheme runs out of money when you stop getting investors. And you can ask lots of famous people, lots of famous bands that made a lot of money investing into Ponzi guys and losing all of it. They were deluded. They were tricked. They were bamboozled. And this is what he's saying here is, if you are not mature, when that Hurricane Andrew comes, you're going to fall down. So young people, I want to encourage you. Find maturity in your Christian faith. There are ideas, there are scammers, there are teachings that are out there that are solely intended to get you out of Christianity. I've been there. I've been through it. Be prepared. Send your roots deep and learn whatever you can now. Adults, they're there. And they chip away. Day by day, chip away and try to get you away from the truth. So here it is. Mature in your faith. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, and let me give you some things that I think are working out things that I want to get us into today. That as we grow and mature in our faith, I want to throw some things out. What does it look like to be mature in your faith? Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And the way that you received Him, walk in Him. And that is by faith. Look at this. 7. Rooted and built up in Him. You see the roots there going in? Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So there's your first clue. If you are rooted, if you are established, then you are going to abound in what? Thanksgiving. So here's my question for you. When is the last time that you felt moved to give thanks to God? When is the last time you felt moved to really thank God? Was it this morning? Was it last night? Has it been months? When you are mature and rooted and established, you are moved and you abound in thanksgiving, because maturity teaches you every good and perfect gift is from above. That's what maturity teaches you. You have lived long enough to know that you, everything that you do, cannot compare to what He does in you. And all you can do is say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Because you've lived long enough to watch yourself fail and to watch the Lord pick you back up. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit. Be rooted, be established, so that no one takes you what? Captive. This is what schemers do. Is they walk up to you and they chain you, and then they start to drag you away from what's true. And before you know it, you were walking the walk of faith, and all of a sudden, you're off the trail, you're off the path, and you're in the castle of despair. Because they've taken you captive, and you've lost your hope. It happens. They take you captive by, look at these things, philosophy. Oh, think about this. God can't be real because empty deceit. Oh, come on, man. Just one time won't hurt. According to human tradition. Oh, but come on, everybody else believes this. Don't you believe this? I mean, it's obvious, right? Everybody else is doing it. According to the elemental spirits of the world. I believe what Paul's talking about here, the demonic spirits. The teachings that are deceptive. Not according to Christ. Captive. Beware, church. Beware, the storm winds are coming. And here's what they won't tell you. But here's what the Word of God tells you. Verse 9. For in Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him who is the head and the rule of all rule and authority. In other words, Jesus is the boss. So if you're being tempted, if you feel like you're being taken captive, here's what you need to know. Jesus is the boss. He's the rule, He's the authority, and that's what Christianity is. It's submitting yourself to say, I am not following any other philosophy, deceitful thing, idea, or way. I'm following the boss, I'm following Jesus. And I believe that Jesus was made flesh, that Jesus did die on the cross, that He was buried, that He did rise again, and I'm willing to submit myself to the one who has authority over death. And that's Christianity. And now we live it out, transformed and renewing our mind. If you don't know Jesus, surrender to the boss. And watch what will happen. Colossians chapter 3, next chapter. Beginning of verse 5. Here it is. The practical laying out of mature Christianity. This is our goal. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Passion. Evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these two, you used to walk when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Hear these things. Anger. Wrath. Anger against people. Malice. Talking against people, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Untruthfulness, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being what? Remember what Paul said in Romans. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the knowledge, there it is, it's the same thing. Renewed in the knowledge, renewed in the mind, after the image of its creator. So, hey, Christian, focus your mind upon whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent and worthy of praise. Think about these things, says Paul in Philippians. Think about these things, the renewing of your mind. Where is your mind focused? Look, I wrestle with this, y'all. There are distractions all day and every day for us. They're delightful things. But if we forget our priority and our mind being focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be lured away and taken captive. And it's tragic. Put off these things. And then look what he says to put on. Hey, Christian, hear this. We're putting off these things, but, verse 12, put on them as God's chosen ones. Christians, you are God's chosen ones. holy and beloved, put on a compassionate heart. Anger, malice, slander. No, Christian. Put on a compassionate heart. Some of you in this room are so compassionate. And I look up to that. Because you care about people. Put on kindness. Some of you are so kind, so generous and caring. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Some of the most humble people in this world are in this room right now that I know. So humble. Christians, put on humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. Hey, Christian, this is where we go. We're going to bear with one another. Not to point out all the faults of someone, but to bear with them through their faults. Man, that's so good. Bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against one another, forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Mature Christians know how to forgive. And if you're bearing something in your soul today and you say, I just can't forgive them, think of your Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and above all these, put on love, 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 love. Put on love. That's who we are, Christian. We are to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called. Oh yeah, and be thankful. So let me wrap up for you this morning. Church, we're to put off malice. As we, our growth chart, as we increase, we're putting off more of these things that are holding us back. And we're putting on more of the things that are building us up. And it makes sense, right? The things that tear us down, we're going to cast off. Slander, obscenities, immorality. That stuff's holding us back like a weight on a sprinter. And we're putting on the things that help us. We're going to put on love. We're going to put on kindness, compassionate hearts, forgiveness. This is what the Christian faith is, and this is what we are called to. So I want to encourage you this morning. Grow up. Day by day, grow up. And like the apostle tells us, as our bodies are wasting away, may our spirits be growing stronger and stronger and stronger. That we are to be presented before the Lord as mature Christians that walk by faith day by day by day. Let me close you with a passage of scripture. And I'm just going to read it over you. So hear this word. This is from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. And it captures a lot of my heart for you, church. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, in your inner being. My prayer for you is that you might be strengthened with the power of God through his Spirit in your inner being. The battle for Christianity is in your inner being, in your mind, in your desires, and in your soul, church. Feed the Spirit of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time wrestling with ideas so that when the Ponzi scheme comes, when the Nigerian prince, spiritual Nigerian prince comes, you can say, back off. That's foolishness, and I'm not going to entertain that. I seek Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, grow our roots deep. That's our prayer this morning. Grow our roots deep so our faith may be strong, so that we might be mature Christians, living our lives to the glory and honor of the one who died for us, who was raised again, and who gave us new life. Stir our hearts, O Lord, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.